And there'll be, sort of a potpourri of different types of bills that are not of great significance out there will come out. I don't think the gun bill will probably come out of committee.
So you don't think the gun bills will come out of committee?
I don't believe so at this time.
If it did come out of committee, how would you vote on that?
I have to wait and see the bill, but I have to wait and see. And I just don't think it's going to come out of committee. So.
Okay. I had Kevin Starrett from Oregon Firearms. We were talking about these bills, and I told him that you were coming up here. And what I was hoping to do is that last week we were having this talk, and you expressed a concern about mentally ill people getting access to guns. Remember that conversation?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So the conversation went somewhere along the line of I asked, well, we already have a process for adjudicating people mentally ill, and then once they're adjudicated mentally ill, they can buy firearms. And you said words to the effect that you wanted to fix that or do something different. Do you see an alternative kind of plan to get the potentially mentally ill out of the ability to purchase firearms? I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from.
We're trying to explore the legality and practical way of if a physician or others is involved with the patient, like the shooter back in Colorado who was seeing a psychiatrist, of that person being able to say, I think this person's a real danger. Can we go to court and have a discussion and see if this person should at least on a temporary, if not a permanent basis, be in the registry that they shouldn't be allowed to purchase guns? It doesn't keep them from getting guns. They can steal them. They can buy them off the street, of course. But you want to do everything you can to slow this thing down. I think the real problem we've got with gun control, more than anything else, is the mentally ill getting a hold of weapons. There's always going to be accidents, which are terrible tragedies, but these terrible shootings we've seen are usually mentally ill people, and we don't, one, take care of them well enough, we don't offer enough services, and two, make it too easy for them to get weapons.
Okay, Senator, Kevin is here, and Kevin, I know that this is your issue, this is something you focus on all the time from Oregon Firearms, so is there a way we could ask a question, or what would you have to ask for Senator Bates? Just want to kind of get this out in the open.
It's a little perplexing to me that the senator says he hasn't seen the bill, because it's almost the identical bill that caused so much trouble last session. So that's kind of odd. So if you haven't seen the bill, Senator, I think you should. But I assume you're aware of the fact that the bill expands the gun registration scheme, which is being used in places like New York to confiscate guns.
Well, my understanding is that it speaks to gun sales between individuals. I've not read the bill word for word, and I'm not going to make a comment until I have read that. And you know, I'm not going to worry about it until it actually does come out of committee, if it does or doesn't. But
well, given that it's already been voted on in committee, and the Democrats control the committee. And the chairman of the committee.
Okay, hold on. One at a time. I want to make sure. So you haven't read it, Senator, and you're not going to comment until you've read it. Kevin?
Well, you know, I think that's what we've come to expect. The fact is that for the senator to imply that he doesn't know what's in this bill is a little disturbing. To suggest it's not going to come out of committee when the chairman of the committee, it's his bill, and has promised, the Senate president has promised to vote on the floor. The fact is, it's a gun registration bill, which does not allow me to give a gun to my father-in-law. And the felons that are caught currently are not prosecuted. So why has the entire Democratic Senate caucus, with the exception of Betsy Johnson, been on the record saying they support this bill? And then Senator Bates says he doesn't know what's in the bill.
I didn't say I didn't know what's in the bill. I said I haven't read it word for word. My understanding is that sales or gifts amongst family members is not prohibited in the bill.
And it is if it's an uncle or father-in-law.
So it's only direct to family, Kevin? Isn't that the case?
Well, it's for example, I can give a gun to my nephew, but under this law, he couldn't give it back. And under this law, if you know, I am sitting on my desk as an email from someone I got this morning saying she has absolutely no disqualifiers. They won't let her have the gun. They've delayed her. Under state law, if she's at a dealer, she can still have the gun in 3 days. Under this law, if she tries to buy a gun from or tries to receive a gun from an old friend and she's delayed, they can delay her indefinitely. These are the kind of things. Maybe what we should request is that senators start actually looking at these bills before they move along. It's going to come out of committee, Senator. You and I both know that.
Well, we don't both know that. It may or may not. We have about 5,000 bills up there. I don't read every single one of them unless they're actually getting ready to come out of committee, although I read the ones in my committee.
Isn't it more about 2,000 actually acted on, though?
No. That's why you don't start reading these bills.
Yeah, hang on.
They're live and may be coming at you. Then you have to look through the bills very carefully, read them word for word, and understand them before you make your vote.
There's 5,000 bills are introduced, but damn few of them get any action.
Well, I was just told that only two bills per legislator are actually worked on this time. Isn't that the case, Senator?
Well, two bills per legislature. There's no limit on the number of committee bills, and so just on the basis of two, there's 180 bills out there plus an unknown number of committee bills. So you're looking at a couple hundred at least, and until you see which ones really have legs on them, and other than the ones in your own committee, you'll have a tendency to look at them real carefully when you get to the point you have to really make a decision on them. I mean, we've got a clean fuels bill as an example, and some others are going to be controversial.
Can we count on you, though, Senator, for a no vote on this bill? Because it looks to me like a solution in search of a problem.
I never commit till I've read the bill carefully.
Okay, Kevin, anything else you want to add before you take off? We appreciate your call.
No, I think it's a skilled response. The senators, the whole caucus is on record as supporting this, except for Betsy Johnson. I think perhaps some of them should read it.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. We appreciate that back. Senator, this is going to be a big one. This is not a little deal. And I don't know, and I'm not here to put words in your mouth, but this is, frankly, this is your political future on the line, in my opinion. This kind of a vote this year.
I would say this concerning those kind of issues. I'm always going to vote what I think is best for the community and for the people I represent. And if it costs me my political future, whatever that might be, which is probably pretty limited, then I understand that, and I'll take those consequences.
Okay.
But I represent a broad spectrum of people in Southern Oregon, and before we take a vote on something that controversial, we would try to get some idea what the sense of the people, what the sense of the entire population I serve is.
All right. Back to something when it comes to the Cover Oregon situation, are we actually having any more success with getting people signing up for private insurance that we're actually paying good money in rather than signing up for Oregon Health Plan, which we've been pretty good at so far?
Yeah, Oregon Health Plan, as you said, has done well. We probably have about another 10 or 15,000 people who didn't have commercial insurance before signed up now. We're still trying to sort those numbers. We got about 30,000 people who signed up for commercial insurance through Cover Oregon, but we're not clear about how many of those had insurance before we decided to use this venue to get in. So we're supposed to get those numbers out later this month. We'll have a better idea of what's really going on. I mean, overall, the program's been successful. We've got 170,000, 180,000 people signed up, most of whom, 150,000 or so, were not insured in December and are now insured and getting health care and getting caught up on their backlog of needs. But what we haven't got going yet is you can't sign up directly on the exchange.
Perhaps it was mission creep here, Senator. The more we've been talking with folks about this, it appears that where Oregon went wrong was to take Cover Oregon and turn it not into just a health insurance exchange portal, but an overall state and, well, a state welfare services or, you know, Department of Human Services kind of portal for everything from SNAP benefits. It was much more than just the health insurance. And I'm wondering, is there a chance that maybe the state will reverse course on that and just make it just a plain old health insurance exchange and get rid of the other missions? What would you say?
There's a good possibility that we've been talking about whether we just pull the system and keep the part that works for DHS, Human Services, and plug in a system from another state or the federal one, which seems to be functioning, and just use it. There's some problems with that because every state has its own insurance laws. We'll have an answer and make a decision on that probably by the middle of March. We might even make it while we're in session. We have to have a little more time, and we're also exploring whether Plan B, as we call it, of pulling it and moving into another system is appropriate and can be done. We're also looking at the possibility of extending the sign-up time so that, you know, when March rolls around here, we can send another 90 days to even 6 months. Well, we work the systems and people have a better opportunity to sign up.
State Senator Bates on the program taking your calls, and let's talk with Mike. Mike, you had a question here. Go right ahead. You were Senator Bates.
Oh, not really a question, just an observation. Ellen Bates is a liar.
No, come on. Just we don't do personal attacks here. what is the problem you have with the senator's point of position on something? That's what we're going at.
Every time he's on, he's just so disingenuous, just so noncommittal, so mealy-mouthed. I doubt a man card was ever issued to him.
Okay, that's, Mike, that's just a personal attack. But, Senator, I really would like to know, that kind of goes to the question about that gun bill, though. You say it's out there, it is in the committee. How can you say that you haven't read it yet and you can't give us an opinion on it right now?
Because the part that I haven't read is exactly the part that he was asking questions. Which relatives and friends can you get a gun to without doing a background check on? My major concern that the bill is trying to address is, you know, how are you going to feel if you sell a gun on the internet to somebody you don't know and that person's a criminal or has other problems?
Well, and then I asked you, though, do we have a demonstrated indicator of a problem with this? Because I have sold many firearms, private party, to people who I've not given background checks to, and there have been no problems. So this is once again going back to a solution looking for a problem. I'm looking for the data or for the study from you or from the study from someone in the Democratic caucus that says that we have a major problem and that we're not just carrying water for Michael Bloomberg type folks. See where I'm coming from?
I can see that. Can I also say that why should you wait for a problem to occur when something can be avoided and a death avoided?
Well, it's kind of like Bush's preemption deal about the war, in which we'll just go to war against everybody on the potential that they may do something bad. I mean, that's not what you're there for, I don't think.
I don't think it's quite rises to that level, but we'll take.
Well, I remember the Democrats saying the same complaint about George Bush, and they were right about George Bush, by the way. So, please, I'm not. Anyway, let's go to Ed. Ed, you're on with Senator Bates. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I go back and I want to ask a question related to a conversation with the senator last week, I believe it was. And his response on this gun bill was about an alliance with Senator Burdick out of the northern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded saying that she felt so passionately about it. Well, I go to what he just said about representing the constituency of his area, and I have to say as a constituent here that I don't care how passionately she feels about something. I think that you should represent the interests of your community, and I hope you do. And I want to know, the question I would have is, how do you actually view your relationship with Senator Burdick?
I have a cordial relationship with all the senators in the Senate, Republican and Democrat. I don't have any animosity to any of them. I don't always agree on all their issues on either side of the aisle, but I have a cordial relationship. I guess that's the best I can say. We don't spend social time together, but I respect her views. I don't agree with all her views. She's a little more liberal than I am, to say the least, but I respect her views. I also respect the views of all the people I represent. You won't hear them on this radio station, but other times I talk to people who feel just as strongly that the greater registration is the right direction to go, too. And so the public is split on this, and we're going to try to find a way in the middle. And maybe people think that's being mealy-mouthed, but I don't think so. I think I'm trying to represent everybody in my district on a very difficult issue.